With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 31st of August 2015. I'm Russell Hargreaves. On today's show, Theo Walcott talks to us about his long road back from injury. Dan Roebuck swings by to talk through his 11 years as the voice of the Matchday show. And Adrian Clarke previews the Gunners' Champions League group. But let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal travelled to St James's Park for the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, and barely 15 minutes had been played before we had our first flashpoint.
Ronaldo, of course, who did score against Southampton in the 2-2 draw here. Meanwhile, we've got Coquelin down, clutching. And it's a red card here. It's Mitrovic who's been sent off for a challenge on Coquelin, and the fans can't quite believe it. Neither can Mitrovic. And we'll have to have another look at this one, Nick, because this is a sending off that's come from nowhere. Colaccini's come racing across saying, well, what on earth is that for? Obviously, the referee had the best view in the house and he's given a straight red.
Alexander Mitrovic with the straight red card for a shocking challenge on Francis Coquelin. The home fans weren't happy, but Mitrovic could have no complaints. Arsenal failed to break down the 10 men of Newcastle in the first half, but 7 minutes into the second period, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain fired home the opener, courtesy of a deflection off Fabrizio Colaccini.
Now it's with Koscielny breaking forward, tries to slip it through here. That's a good touch from Santi Cazorla, gets the shot away, it's blocked, and then Ramsey strike! Good save, it's come back out for Oxlade-Chamberlain, takes an deflection and goes in! Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain breaks the deadlock, touch of fortune about it, but a couple of fierce strikes, eventually the ball comes back out towards the Ox, who fires it goalwards and sneaks into the net off the post, and Newcastle are behind here. It is Newcastle 0, Arsenal 1, the Gunners do have their lead.
The Gunners pushed for a second goal to kill the game off, but had to settle for a 1-0 win in the end, and after having 21 attempts on goal and 78% of the possession. It was the least that their dominance deserved, and in his post-match press conference, Arsene Wenger spoke about having to adapt his team's game plan after that early red card.
I expected more space for Theo, you know, and at the start it looked quite promising. But after 15 minutes, it was a different problem for us. There was no space behind their defenders. The service through their lines was very difficult, and they defended very well.
The win pushed Arsenal up to sixth in the league and was the perfect way to head into the international break. That's the final word on the weekend's action. Now it's time to turn the spotlight on the man who started up front for Arsenal on Saturday, Theo Walcott. Theo Walcott is Arsenal's longest-serving player now and signed a new long-term contract with the club in July. The Gunners forward sat down with Arsenal media's Nick Brumsack to talk about his return from injury and his evolution from winger to forward.
So Theo, you were eased back into action when you returned from injury last season. How much did that help your recovery and to help you reach your peak?
Yeah, I think it was important to be patient. Even at times when I wanted to just go for it, the manager has just put me aside and just say, obviously, I was out for, you know, over a year, and it's always, sometimes it takes that amount of time to get back to the level. I managed to come back a little bit better, quicker as well. And it's important, you don't want to rush things because you work so hard to get to, you know, after being over a year, and you just don't want to just panic and go in straight away. And maybe initially in the first stages, I wanted to just get involved because I missed it for so long. You know, if you take a sweet away from a baby, they're going to want it back. And it's just that was the same case for me. That was the biggest word, I think, was being just very patient with myself, not just the team as well.
You ended last season with 4 goals in your final 2 games, and you played up front in both of those matches. Is that where you see yourself playing this season as well?
I think you'll see a mixture of me playing those 3 positions, to be honest, left, right and centre. I think depending on how the game is, who the opposition is against, that's why the manager is the best man to pick his team. But I've shown the manager what I can do on the left, right and centre. It's obviously well documented I want to play up front, but you know, there's a lot of competition for places here as well, but I will do my best in any position given the opportunity playing for this club. So and I'll give it my all, but I'll always be judged on goals and assists, etc. But I feel like I would score a lot of goals up front.
You've regularly scored goals from the right wing, of course. What's the main difference as opposed to leading the line?
The main difference on the right to the centre? Well, on the right, you have to do a bit more defending on the right, definitely. Obviously, up front, you need to do your part as well, but because, like I say, it always starts from the front. But on the right, you need to obviously track your runner as well. You need to tuck in for your fellow midfield player. You need to help out your fullbacks. There's all these other little jobs you need to do up front. You can do things by just movement. At times, you may not be involved in the game, but you are. Some people might think, oh, he hasn't touched the ball for 10, 15 minutes, but he's moving all the time and he's taking players and he's creating space for other players. And that's what strikers need to do at times, not just always come to ball and set it off. You need to stretch teams, which with our midfield players we have in this team, it's going to give them more space, more opportunities, more goals. And that's what you want, I think, in a team.
Well, he hasn't had much game time yet, but you've got to believe that Theo Walcott's going to play a major role this season for the Gunners and for England in this summer's European Championships. Now we go from a current winger to a legendary one. It's time for our history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a free goal!
It's up for grabs now!
On the 5th of September 1970, George Armstrong scored twice as the Gunners beat North London rivals Tottenham 2-0 at Highbury.
That's a good ball from Graham. He's got 3 on the far post, 1 coming across the nearest Kennedy.
Of course, the 1970-71 season would culminate in Arsenal travelling to White Hart Lane to clinch the league championship and then go on to complete the club's first double with a 2-1 win over Liverpool in the FA Cup final at Wembley. Here's captain Frank McClintock, George Graham, Bob Wilson and Charlie George remembering that incredible season.
The determination and the ability to win a game, and once we were 1-0 up, you could forget about it.
We just believed in each other so much. There was a tremendous, tremendous camaraderie, and we just thought that we could beat anybody and everybody.
We had a good squad, you know. We never had great individuals, but collectively as a team, whatever we did together, and that was the strongest point of the team.
The camaraderie among the players was first class. And I think the outstanding coaching and the man management of both Don and Bertie Mee, that really added to the total picture.
George Armstrong would go on to play 621 games for the club, a record only surpassed by David O'Leary and Tony Adams, scoring 68 goals in the process, a true Gunners legend. We'll have another history lesson next week, but now it's time that we talk to another Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Our Arsenal insider this week is the voice of the Arsenal Matchday Show. In fact, we heard from him during the weekend review earlier, Dan Roebuck. Dan, how you doing, my friend? You OK?
Yeah, very good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for interrupting your bank holiday Monday morning. It's wet, it's dank, but great to have you on the Arsenal podcast.
Not a problem whatsoever.
So, obviously, you watch Arsenal every week. What have you made of this season so far?
Difficult one, isn't it? Because we were so full of hope and optimism and confidence heading into the season because of a terrific pre-season and indeed the end to last campaign as well, that we expected Arsenal certainly to win their first game of the season at home to West Ham. That didn't quite work out as well as we thought that it would do, as we know. We've got 7 points so far from a possible 12. I thought the best that we've played so far was against Crystal Palace. There was a spell against Palace where I thought we saw the true Arsenal. And given what Palace have done to Chelsea this season, and I think I remarked at the time that you know that Palace are going to take points off the big teams over the course of the year. I thought most likely at Sellers Park rather than the place like Stamford Bridge, but they're beginning to look like a team that could potentially finish in the top eight. So I thought Arsenal played well against Palace, against Newcastle at the weekend. It was a case of getting the job done. It wasn't the best of games. I think everybody would testify to that. But we're slightly better off than we were last season. Not exactly what we wanted, but a couple of wins. Hopefully we can turn the home form around when we restart in the Premier League. So not a complete disaster, but I think everyone would recognise not exactly what we wanted.
So, Dan, I bet you it's gone by in the blink of an eye, but you've been working for the club for 11 years now. Good work. Do they give you a medal for that yet, or do you have to get further?
No, they don't. I'm still waiting for the testimonial, Russell, unfortunately. my first season was 03-04. I was trying to work it out the other day. So it might even be more than 11 years. My first campaign working for the Arsenal was 03-04, which is a brilliant season, obviously.
I reckon 20. We'll give you something at 20. I think that's fair. Mate, loads to talk about here. I want to talk about, you know, specific players and matches, but just sort of broader memories as well of all these years. So let's maybe start there.
Well, 03-04, of course, was the Invincibles year. And that was my first season. And it was an unbelievable year to work for the club because the football played that year was just astonishing. And the stories behind that run were just brilliant. Every single weekend, something was happening. It was building up to go all the way throughout the campaign, throughout a league campaign, unbeaten. And as we know, it just doesn't happen. You've got to go back to the 1800s and Preston when, you know, there's only 20-odd games in a league season. So to go 38, that season was so special. The football that was played, the matches that Arsenal were involved in were just phenomenal. I mean, that season will always be such a great one to remember. But, you know, after that, the FA Cup triumph, following that, the years when Arsenal went close in the Champions League, getting to the final in Paris and getting so, so close against Barcelona, the heartbreak of being beaten by Birmingham in the League Cup. I hate to bring it up, but as we go sort of chronologically, and then sort of near misses in the Premier League, and then coming full circle, really, for the last couple of years when Arsenal have secured some great FA Cup triumphs, the come-from-behind win against Hull, and, of course, the stunning success against Villa. There's some great memories of them.
So if I was going to ask you to pick out one specific match, then you've given us a few. What would you say?
Difficult one. I'm still going to give you a few because I always...
Should be a politician, mate.
in the 03-04 season, the win over Liverpool at home when it just looked like potentially the wheels were going to come off Arsenal's season. Beaten in the FA Cup semi-final by Manchester United at Villa Park, kicked off the park by Sir Alex Ferguson's side in the Midlands. That came off the back of a couple of draws and then off the semi-final defeat into the second leg of the Champions.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Kingsley, quarterfinal against Chelsea, beaten at Highbury. To knock us out of the Champions League. When really, when you look back and you remember that side, that was the year that Arsenal potentially should have won the Champions League. But that's another story. So beaten by Chelsea, then coming into the game against Liverpool and 2-1 down, and you think, crikey, this could be three defeats on the spin here. So the fact that Arsenal came back to win that 4-2, fantastic display from Thierry Henry back to hat-trick that day. that was always going down as one of my favourite games. The following season, just a brief word for the game against Middlesbrough when the 49s unbeaten run is still going on. We hadn't reached 49, we were just into the 40s. And 3-1 down at home to Middlesbrough, coming back to win 5-3. The atmosphere at Highbury that day was unbelievable. And just one more I'm going to mention, because it's a little bit more recent, is the FA Cup final win against Hull, 2-0 down inside 20 minutes or whatever it was, and then to come back to win 3-2 in extra time. Commentator's dream, isn't it? And a fantastic performance from Arsenal. Aaron Ramsey coming on, scoring the winning goal. It was just a brilliant day all round and ending that trophy drought. So if I can have sort of 3 or 2.5, that trio would be it.
I think that's perfectly acceptable, Dan. No problem. What about players as well? Who would you pick? Maybe again, a little sort of selection over your 11 years.
There are so many, aren't they? I mean, Thierry Henry, really. I mean, I say my first season, 03-04, people said that his best football for Arsenal was actually the previous season, but he was brilliant that year as well. And the strength of that particular Arsenal side was just phenomenal, with Pires playing on the left-hand side, Vieira and Gilberto, and, of course, up front, Bergkamp and Henry, and at the back, you had Campbell and Torre, you had Cole and Ron and Lehmann playing in that side. I mean, they were that was such a strong unit that season. It was unbelievable. And obviously, you pick out Henri from then. And then the emergence of Cesc Fabregas. I know he plays for that lot across town these days. But when we saw his debut playing in the League Cup in that year, then he didn't play in the Premier League until the following year, and he slotted in brilliantly in 04-05, and then went on to be Arsenal's sort of main midfielder. He was terrific. In fact, I still think that we got the best of him. I know that, you know, he won plenty at Barcelona and he's done well at Chelsea already, but I think we still saw the best of Fabregas. And going through to sort of the current crop of players, and when you think about the arrival of Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez, I mean, two phenomenal players, two world-class players that Arsene Wenger somehow managed to prize away from, you know, the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid has just been astonishing. And Alexis in particular, I think, because we've seen it over the years, Russell, and you know this. We see players come to the Premier League and it doesn't work out for them. Or if it does work out for them, it can take 18 months, 2 years or so for Alexis to score so many goals and be such a key player for Arsenal last season. You know, he's not yet sort of hit the heights this campaign, but he's not had a break. He played in the Copa America, as you know, scoring that winning penalty for Chile. So there's been so many. But I think Henri, Fabregas and hopefully Alexis to kick on from here on in would be the three that I'd pick out.
Brilliant. And Dad, just a couple of quickies to finish. What's the biggest change, would you say, that you've seen during your time here?
I think on the pitch, I think the game's got even quicker. I was reading somewhere the other day that it's 10% quicker than it was sort of 7 or 8 years ago. And when sometimes you look back at those games, from even that 03-04 era, and you think, you know, these are outstanding performances. When you look at Arsenal playing against sort of lesser lights in the Premier League, mid-ranking sides, even sides that potentially will go down, the game seems to get quicker. The opposition are better. Everybody's more drilled. There are more world stars in the Premier League than there were before. There are so many good players. I was watching a bit of the Swansea game yesterday, and you look at the likes of Andrea Yu that have come into the Premier League, and he's phenomenal. He's playing for a club like Swansea. It wouldn't have happened maybe 10, certainly not 20 years ago. So the speed of the game, and off the pitch, the amount of media coverage, as you know, Russell, is just it's just phenomenal. what we get now and what's expected of the clubs. When I first started at Arsenal Media, there was 3 or 4 of us. Now there's a whole department. So it's exploded out of all recognition, I think, the amount of coverage that there is, which is great for a fan. It's great for us as well. It's never been covered so better. So those are the two things that I'd suggest.
And as we let you go, mentioning that media explosion, the Matchday show, great watch, brilliant stuff. What's new? What's evolved for this season?
Well, the eagle-eyed amongst watchers will have seen the new set, which is, we hope, a little bit nice, a bit more dynamic for people to tune in. We've got more interviews. We go pitch side at halftime for the home games. We've got more interactivity. There's more reporting as well. We're pitch side for away games. We've got a reporter outside the dressing room getting the team news first and foremost. Plenty for those who can't get to the match to enjoy. So hopefully we've upped our game for supporters this season.
And don't forget the new Match Day Show mugs as well, which are proudly displayed. I'm looking at them now. They're good.
Yeah, they are. Unfortunately, I've not got one yet. So we need to get some more, and maybe we'll have one or two as prizes over the course of the season. That's if the budget can stretch to.
That sounds like a plan. Dan Roebuck, thanks so much for your time, mate. Really good to get all your thoughts and your insight. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Russell. Speak soon.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
So there's no game to preview this week because of the international break, but we're not going to let Adrian Clarke off that easily, of course. He now joins me to go through Arsenal's Champions League group draw instead. Aid, thought you were going to have a morning off, but we've got you on the phone. How are you, my friend?
Not a problem, Russ. I wouldn't get up early on a bank holiday for anyone, so it's a pleasure.
Mate, we've ruined your duvet day, but I know you've been doing stringent research on this segment. So, Bayern Munich, of course, I think most would say are Arsenal's real threats in the group. But what do you think about the other teams, Olympiakos and Dinamo Zagreb?
First things first, I think it's a good draw for Arsenal. I think it could have been a lot worse, but we shouldn't underestimate Olympiakos. I mean, this is a team that's reached the last 16 three times in the last seven seasons, so they're no mug. And they're superb at home. I think everybody knows that they've beaten Arsenal, obviously, before, but the list of clubs that they've beaten on home soil are United, Atletico, Juve, Dortmund, and they were unlucky not to reach the quarters a couple of years ago when they took Manchester United to the wire. So this isn't a team we should underestimate. And they've got Esteban Cambiasso now in the heart of their midfield. Obviously, did ever so well for Leicester last season, so he'll firm up the engine room. I think they're a side that will quietly fancy their chances. They tend to average 8, 9, 10 points. So, they will be dark horses, I think.
And what about Dinamo Zagreb?
Well, I think they'd be the whipping boys, to be perfectly honest, because they've got a pretty shocking record in the Champions League group stages. Obviously, domestically, they dominate. And they're full of goals, actually. In the qualifiers, they've been through three rounds and scored 14 goals. So they can put the ball in the back of the net. Decent strike force. Hodzic and Soudani, a front two, are pretty decent. But I think, away from home especially, they just ship all sorts of goals. And even though you'd suspect it would be a real tough opener in Zagreb, intimidating atmosphere, that their home record in the Champions League is pretty woeful. So I'd expect Arsenal to get off to a winning start there.
Of course, Adrian, finishing second in the group stages has really plagued the Gunners in recent years, hasn't it? So how do Arsenal avoid that fate this time around?
They've got to put their pedal to the metal for all six games, haven't they? That's been the issue. There's been one rogue away performance that's blighted each of the last few seasons. I remember a really poor display in Napoli, another one in Dortmund, and they've got to eliminate those. When they don't play so well, you can't play well every game, but in the Champions League, when you have an off night, just make sure you don't lose. And I think concentration is the key. Obviously, last year, you could look at the drop point on home soil against Anderlecht. That was a real issue, and I'd put that down to concentration. So that's the area. You cannot switch off for a second in the Champions League. They've got to be fully focused and at it for all six games.
Well, let's go on to a couple of tweets from our listeners. At Wenger's Way wants to know, Adrian, how do you think Arsenal will cope against Bayern?
Well, they know how to play against them, don't they? I mean, they've had plenty of practice in recent seasons. And I think they'll be boosted by the fact that they've got good results in Munich. The problem has been at the Emirates, hasn't it? So they've got to learn from the defeats that they've had against them. I think they just need to be a little bit smarter. They've got to get the right balance between defence and attack, because, you know, you're playing against top players here and they will punish you, and we found that out to our cost. The thing I would look at in terms of beating Bayern is that Guardiola will take risks. He's a very attack-minded coach. So we have to punish those opportunities that do come our way, because we will get them. They will pile bodies forward, especially, I think, even at the Emirates. So we've got to make the most of our opportunities. Barcelona blitzed them in last season's semi-final. I know Barcelona are an amazing side, but I don't think there's any reason why Arsenal, especially on home soil, can't get at Bayern Munich and really punish them.
And Abe, the aptly named at CaptainDo77 has got a more general question for us. There's a strong correlation, he says, between Ramsey playing out wide and Giroud's little goal drought. So should we look at changing the starting 11?
Yeah, good Twitter handle, that, isn't it? Yeah. Should we consider changing the starting 11? Well, I don't know. It's worked pretty well towards the end of last season, didn't it, with Aaron Ramsey in that inverted right-wing role. He does have a good point, though. It is factually true that Giroud hasn't scored very many goals at all when Aaron Ramsey has been playing on the right. Is that all down to the Welshman? Absolutely not. I think he's had plenty of chances. I mean, this season alone, he's had 12 shots, 7 on target. It's just Giroud's conversion rate has been significantly lower so far. But I do agree that it's true that Giroud thrives on good early crosses, and he's tended to be at his best when the likes of Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, or even Danny Welbeck been running at defenders, getting in behind the defence and squaring balls across the face of goal. I don't think there's any reason why Ramsey can't do that or why the team can't do that when Ramsey's in the side. So I don't necessarily think there's an issue with those two players playing together. But certainly, when Giroud's playing, the team need to get in behind the opposition and flash more balls across the face of goal. No doubt about that.
Adrian, thank you for disrupting slightly your bank holiday plans, and great to have you back on.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Remember as well, if you want to get your questions answered on the podcast, tweet at Arsenal and use the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. Well, that's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Theo Walcott, Dan Roebuck and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'll be back on Monday, the 7th of September for the next Arsenal Weekly podcast. Until then, it's bye for now. Come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. You can listen to a new episode every Monday by going to arsenal.com or the Arsenal SoundCloud page. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.